and put those searchlights up on the tower. Right now. Move! Move!
I listen to 2ARM, 92.1 FM, in the car and at work, for great tunes and community news.
Hello, I'm Herb and welcome to Community Spotlight. Each week I try and bring in somebody from our community or an organisation or talk about an event that's coming up. And today I've got David Steller, who is the recipient of the Senior Citizen Elder Award for the Australian Day Awards from the Armidale Regional Council just recently over the long weekend. Good morning, David.
Morning, Herb.
Well, thanks for coming in, David. Proud recipient of the 2026 Senior Citizen Elder Award.
Makes me feel old.
Well, yes, I think when they put elder on the back end of it, it makes everybody feel old, I think. So let's start from the beginning. Where were you born?
Penrith, New South Wales.
Now, you tell me something about Warragamba Dam.
Yeah, well, at the time, my parents had moved to Warragamba Village for the during the construction of the Warragamba Dam. My father was the site photographer working for Sydney Water, or was then the Metropolitan Water, Sewerage and Drainage Board, and he was there for the extent of the building of the dam, and so we lived in the village there before we moved to Springwood after the bridge was the dam was opened, and I think that's where I sort of got my desire to be a civil engineer from all that dam building.
So tell me, did you go out with your father to do the photography at any time?
Well, I was probably only 2 to 3 years old at the time. I'm in a few photographs that he propped me on the front of a couple of old veteran cars that the water board owned in front of the dam with a hard hat on, and those photos are in the history book of the dam that was released a couple of years ago when 50 years since the opening. They had a big get-together down there and Mum and Dad were invited to the ceremony, yeah.
Well, I bet you the book doesn't list this little bit of history. The first meeting of the Morgan Car Association of Australia was at, well, the place where Warragamba Dam is now. So it was in a paddock down there.
Mm-hmm.
That was the first meeting, because my old uncle Ed is one of those five people who were at that first meeting of the Morgan Club of Australia.
Well, there you go, Herb. So there's always...
There's always a little bit of story.
There's always something there.
Yeah, always something. So, all right then, primary school.
Yeah, Our Lady Help of Christians at Epping. Dad had started working at the ABC after the water board, and he was commuting down from Springwood, and of course missed the train a couple of times because he was working on news as a cinematographer and had to sleep on Central Station. So they just decided they'd better move to Sydney, and so bought a house at North Epping, and all my siblings, we went to Our Lady Help of Christians at Epping.
And the secondary?
And secondary was at Morris Brothers Eastwood, and there until the old sixth form, and then from there I went on to Sydney Uni to study civil engineering.
Well, here's the question I ask everybody. What was it, and I think we already have answered it, but what was it in your childhood? Most people have this experience that sort of sets them on the path to find a path. What was it back in your childhood, usually about that 8 to 12 years old, that put you on the path to engineering?
Yeah, it was lots of tinkering with machinery, you know, lawn mowers and those sorts of things. I love to pull them apart and put them back together. And Dad was always in his garage doing his woodwork and I was down there pulling things apart. So, yeah, and Dad always told me stories. He kept in contact with a lot of the engineers from Sydney Water Board, and that helped develop my desire to build bigger things like bridges and dams and that sort of stuff. And so I was pretty set in my ways. I think about fourth form, I decided that I wanted to do civil engineering. Before that, it was a motor mechanic, and a careers advisor suggested that engineering might be a better path for me to take.
Well, he probably said, Dave, you're smart enough to be an engineer.
Yeah, he said that my marks were pretty good and that I could probably go on to university, yeah.
So you left university and took a job with Armidale Council, Regional Council. Well, it was Armidale City Council back then.
It was Armidale City Council, 32 square kilometres was the area of the council.
1982, as an assistant design engineer. And what, when you first came, what were the types of jobs you were given as a first year out assistant design engineer?
Yeah, well, I remember the first job that the city engineer David Hegarty gave me was to design a measuring weir for the seepage out of Malpas Dam. And so because I was probably the most recent graduate, I remembered most of my hydraulics. And so I was given the job of designing the measuring weir.
So was that a split notch weir?
Yeah, V-notch weir, yeah.
V-notch weir, sorry.
Yeah.
My hydrology is a bit rusty. And that's downstream?
Yeah, that's downstream, because obviously the water gets down underneath the dam or seeps through the dam wall, and you have to measure that. And it was about, I think the seepage is still 5 litres a second.
What's that in megalitres a day?
Oh, well, you can do the maths.
Yeah. A million litres in a megalitre.
Yeah, that's right.
If you can step over it, it's about a megalitre a day.
Yeah.
Okay, so let's just go through some from the start to when you retired in after 34 years with the council in 2016. Some of the projects, if you can actually just slot them in as you got more experience, yeah, and what you finished with.
It's a bit hard to do that in chronological order, but I'll try.
Give it a go.
So I was in the design office for about 2 years, and mainly doing curb and gutter design for roads. And then after that, I was offered a job on the project team that was going to spend, it was about $10 or $12 million on the augmentation of the water and sewerage. And so that involved large pipelines for the on the sewerage side to take the sewage out to the sewage treatment plant, upgrades at the wastewater treatment plant, and upgrades at the water filtration plant, and also water mains extensions. You know, basically just to improve the water supply. We built a number of reservoirs as well as part of that project. And so after that project finished, after about 2.5 years, I was offered the design engineer's position, which I took for a little while, and then I became the works engineer, looking after all the council's construction works. And so I suppose the major construction was this road just out the front of the radio station.
Kentucky Street.
Yeah, Kentucky Street, the intersection with the old New England Highway after it came off the bridge. I remember I did a lot of the design work with the RTA, or it was the Department of Main Roads, when I was in the design office, and then I got to build it as the works engineer, which was great. And I noticed that some of the plants that we put in Kentucky Street are still there after 30-odd years.
Well, you just mentioned plants, so we'll just jump to the Armidale Tree Group,
yep,
which you joined pretty soon after you came to Armidale.
Yeah, well, they were a lovely young bunch of academics that formed the Armidale Tree Group, namely people like Krishna Donnelly and David Curtis, and they had kids basically the same age as ours, and we were sort of had met them socially. David had sort of told us about his plans for attending to the dieback issue, the eucalypt dieback issue, and his idea was that they just needed to plant more trees.
Greening New England,
yeah. So he had a little nursery at his property called the Spyway out on Simmons Road, and that's where we used to meet every couple of weekends a year. We'd go out there and propagate plants, get them going and grow them on and look for areas to plant them. And I think our first project that we got was with Armidale City Council, and it was at Malpas Dam. We planted 30,000 trees on the eastern side of Malpas Dam, which was a great project that really got the tree group up and running.
Talking about the tree group, we'd be remiss if we didn't talk about Mike O'Keefe.
Of course, yeah.
Who we unfortunately lost. May he rest in peace. So you obviously knew Mike.
Yeah, he knew Mike very well. Again, he was in the tree group very early. We had lots of planning weekends away. We used to go down to East Kundurang as a committee of the tree group and sort of do a bit of strategic planning over a few wines and beers and things. And all the kids had come down with us, and we'd have a wonderful weekend down there. So it was a very social group, but we managed to get lots of things done. And we had three nurseries over that period of time when Mike was with us. We started over in the National Parks Depot in Miller Street. That was our first nursery. And then we moved to the showground.
Yeah, that's when I met Mike.
Ah, right.
At that nursery.
Yeah, it was quite a wet site.
Yeah, well, although I was downstream from there, and it was pretty wet there, but I grew some nice casuarinas.
Yeah, yeah.
Cunningham-io.
And then after that, we were at the current site, which is on the Crown land at 80 Mann Street.
And just quickly tell me about the building that's there, the Interpretive Centre.
Again, that was a great project, and Mike had a lot to do with that. Mike was very hands-on with all the nurseries. He'd build nursery equipment, being it either a hut or a glass house or just the areas, the shelving where you put all your seedlings and that sort of thing. So he was very handy with a welder and doing steelwork. And we managed to talk to a local building designer, and she came up with a great design for the Woodland. It was very, for the Woodland Centre, a passive solar design, which was really great, in mud brick. And so Mike decided to take on a work for the Dole scheme, where we had a supervisor for those workers, and basically with Mike's oversight, they started building the Woodland Centre. So I remember one of the first working bees we had, there was about six of us, made 4,000 mud bricks early in the piece on site. The brick maker came up from Bellingen, and we used a extruding brick machine to make those things. And then the Woodland Centre then developed, became an education centre for bringing school groups in so that they could learn about how eucalypt dieback came about and how we were planning to rehabilitate and green the table, as you say, green the tablelands, yeah.
So what are the things about your 34 years in council, you told me earlier, was that you met a lot and had to deal with a lot of community group.
Yeah.
So we just mentioned the tree group, which you actually jumped in boots and all.
Yep.
Not for long after you came. But what other community groups did you get involved in with? I know there's Rotary. Well, let's talk about Rotary for a sec.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Well, yeah, I got a phone call from when there used to be a New England Electricity County Council in town. Down opposite PCYC, that two-storey building was there, and there was lots of engineers in there, and I was in the engineers group, the northern group of professional engineers, and a couple of electrical engineers there used to meet with me regularly, and they invited me to join Rotary. And so it was the Armidale Central Rotary Club.
1992.
In about 1992, 93, yeah. And one of the reasons I liked the idea of joining Rotary, because I'd never been overseas, and I knew that Rotary did overseas projects. And Armidale Central Rotary Club were talking about going over to New Guinea to build the hospital at Kokoda, the Kokoda Hospital. It was a gift by the Australian government, $1 million, to build the hospital. And Rotary Australia was given the project by the government to build, because they knew the Papuan government wouldn't build it. And so I think there was about 250 Rotary teams went up to New Guinea to build the Kokoda Hospital, and I was fortunate enough to be in one of those teams.
And what did you do as part of that team?
Well, we built floor and walls of one of the wings of the hospital. So there were three wings to the hospital, and all the walls had been prefabricated in timber and transported onto site in semi-trailers. And we basically did all the subfloor area, which was basically concrete piers and then all the joists and timbers and the flooring, and then we put the walls up. And we were going to tie the roof trusses in. Unfortunately, the semi-trailer ran off the road on the driveway up to the site and rolled three times, crushed all the trusses. So I then was given the job of designing a new road up to the site and try to recover as many trusses as we could. By the end of all that, our time had run out and we'd come home.
I wonder if that hospital's still operating.
It is. I've been back a couple of times to the hospital, mainly to do maintenance. I went back in, I think it was 2017, to build a new nurse's quarters up there, and they were made from shipping containers. We had been transporting hospital equipment from Australia, second-hand stuff, in these shipping containers up to the hospital, and they couldn't get rid of the shipping containers, so we took three of them and made a three-bedroom house out of three shipping containers. It took us about 3 weeks, and Greg Moran from Inverell, who was a director of engineering when I was director of engineering here in Armidale at the same time, he encouraged me to go up there, give him a hand to build the container house for the nurses, because the existing houses had been there 25 odd years, and the white hands had got to the original buildings. Yeah.
So I think we would be remiss if we didn't mention the Demon Knights.
Ah, right.
Okay. The soccer. So why the Demon Knights? I know my kids used to play with the Demon Knights when we first came to Armidale,
yeah,
as little tackers. There was a couple of feisty parents in that group, I remember.
Yeah.
Demon Knights, tell me about your history with Demon Knights.
Yeah, well, the first year I came to Armidale, one of my colleagues at work was playing with North, and so said, come and play with third grade at North Soccer, because I said I played soccer, and that was in the first year. And then I went and played cricket for one of the defunct clubs now, St Peter's, in the summer of that year with the same colleague from work. And I met a guy called Steve Ross, who was then an avid DK player, coach and organiser at DK, and he convinced me that I shouldn't be playing for North and I should play with Demon Knights. So in 1983, I went across to Demon Knights and have played with them till I was 60, which was only a few years ago.
Yeah, a little bit more. But you've got a project there at Demon Knights at the moment. What's the project about oral histories?
One of the ex-North players, I played for a number of clubs, also played with DK, Ryan Johnson, had the idea that we should write a history of football in Armidale, being soccer. It dates back to the 60s, and probably even people can put their hand on Second World War teams that played, Armidale versus Inverell, and so there's a bit of history there. So it's been a committee formed of all the existing clubs to try and put together a history of football in Armidale. So it's underway at the moment. I think the next meeting's next month on that particular project.
Well, all those people with a passion for soccer, they'll be very interested in when that book comes out. Now, I just noticed, though, that you've got a Black Gully Festival 2025 T-shirt on, mm-hmm. with the magpie, the black and white magpie, which is the motif. You have been a part of Black Gully, coming to Black Gully for a whole 14 years,
yeah, the whole 14 years, because Dave Carr's been a member of the Armidale Tree Group for all that period. And he's encouraged the tree group to support Black Gully, and we always have a stall there and we do whatever we can to help out. So we've had a long association with Black Gully through the...
Yep, I think it'll go from strength to strength. After 14 years, it's actually proved its mettle.
Yeah.
We're looking forward to 2026 and 2ARM being a part of it as well.
And just back on the networks that I was able to develop while I was working at council, they're mainly through meetings that I had to go to for local area committees. There was about six or seven local area committees when we amalgamated in 2000 with Jumeirah Shire. One of the ways to try and keep the community involved with council, and that they weren't going to be forgotten about, was to have these local area committees. And I met an awful lot of really nice people who wanted to get on and do things in their communities at Wallamumbi or Ebor or all those little village areas around the Shire area. And we worked on little projects where we could apply for grants and various things to keep their infrastructure that they had in those villages maintained, active. There was lots of projects. And the other area was the sports committee, the Sport and Recreation Committee it was called, at council. I met a lot of the sporting club people, all those people who volunteer hundreds of hours a year towards their favourite sport, whether it be hockey, netball, soccer, basketball. And, you know, I ended up on various committees, like the den at Armidale High School was one particular facility where I took on the project management of the new basketball facility there. That was the New England Regional Indoor Sporting Complex, and that was a committee of people got together to develop that building on the school grounds.
And well, I think the den, my kids went straight from soccer to basketball as soon as the den was made.
Yeah.
Basketball, as teenagers and young adults, was their thing at the den and travelling all over the place.
So that's where I got involved in doing pro bono work. I sort of project managed that just to keep the costs down, and we managed to get a number of grants to build the facility, and so I took on the role of project managing it, pulling the tenders and dealing with the contractors, and I was able to do that while I was working full time.
Well, somebody's got to project manage it. The project doesn't manage itself.
Exactly, yeah.
And I think when I look at your history, two things that pop out to me quite clear is you're a networker and a builder, and that sort of comes with all the projects you've been involved in, but also this recognition in this year's Senior Citizen Elder in the Australian Day Award, all the diverse groups within our local community that you've been a part of, been able to help, or even just put them on the right path to where the grants are going to be without having to build. So, Dave, I think we might pull it up there. Is there anything you'd like to add as a final Got a few years left in you.
Yeah. I think one of the most rewarding projects I ever did was with a Rotary project with the School of St Jude, which was the brainchild of Gemma Rice, who's now married, and Gemma Sissia, living in Tanzania. And one of the highlights of my volunteering career was taking a team over there and building the first three classrooms at the School of St Jude's in Tanzania.
Fantastic. Well, we hope many more years of your networking and building and volunteering. Just goes to show that we do have people that are really committed to helping our community. And congratulations on the award. It's well deserved.
Thank you very much, Herb.
You're one of our community members. You're one of our gems within our community. And that's Community Spotlight.
Broadcast, then podcast. If you missed it or want to hear it again, then visit our webpage, 2arm.net.au/podcast. I listen to 2ARM 92.1 FM in the car and at work for great tunes and community news.